This is Here and Now. And raise your hand if you took a Midwest history class. I'm guessing you are not raising your hand. And John Lauck says that is a problem because a lot of the country's history happened in the Midwest. John grew up in South Dakota, still lives there. He's a historian and an advisor to Republican Senator John Thune, and he's got a new book out called The Lost Region, Toward a Revival of Midwestern History. He's with us now from the studios of South Dakota Public Broadcasting in Sioux Falls. John, welcome.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, why is it the Lost Region?
Well, in comparison to other regions of the country, especially very romantic places like the American West or the American South, everybody knows what the American South is because it's the old Confederacy, the Midwest gets very little attention. There are no institutions that study the history of the Midwest. There's no Midwestern Studies Association. There's no journal that focuses on the Midwest. The big universities in the Midwest don't teach Midwestern history, unlike, say, Southern institutions. Let me give you an example. University of Georgia has 10 people on staff who teach about the history of Georgia and the history of the South, whereas the University of Minnesota, just for a comparison, has zero people on staff teaching the history of the Midwest.
Well, what are we missing?
Well, I think if you're going to understand the whole of American history, you have to understand the role the Midwest played in some very critical events, such as the opening of the frontier, the settlement of these states that were very pro-Northern and anti-slavery, which helped the New England win the Civil War. This is the breadbasket of America, the place where all the troops and armaments and machinery came from to win a couple of world wars. These are important aspects of our history, and they just don't get much attention.
Well, and as you say in the book, H.L. Mencken said of the great writer Willa Cather, "I don't care how well she writes, I don't give a damn what happens in Nebraska."
Right, and that's not an uncommon sentiment, I would say. I work part of my time in Washington, D.C., of course, and it's not small-town Illinois and Iowa that is the topic of conversation.
I did see that, by my count at least, 13 of our presidents have come from the Midwest. What do you think that upbringing or their roots in the Midwest have done to the country's history?
Well, the first Midwestern president was, of course, Abraham Lincoln, again, from your part of the country, Southern Illinois. And after that, the Republican Party, which was launched in Wisconsin in the 1850s, won the presidency numerous times. And many of the people who represented the party came from small towns in Ohio and Illinois and places like that.
Well, what was it about the Midwest, do you think, that shaped Abraham Lincoln in the way that he approached the world?
Well, first of all, Abraham Lincoln early on developed an aversion to slavery that slowly built over his career. And so he was a convinced abolitionist by the time he ran in 1860. The South recognized this, and they knew as soon as he won the presidency that it was going to be over for the peculiar institution in the South. So they rebelled. But that attitude by Abraham Lincoln was very common to the Midwest, because the way the Midwest was set up, slavery was banned there, barred by statute in the Northwest Ordinance. And so the Midwest developed in a way that focused on small towns and small farms. It was not like the South, which was defined by larger plantations and a few rich aristocrats controlling the politics, and then a lot of poor people and slaves. And that's not how the Midwest developed. And so I think these young men who grew up in the Midwest had a much stronger democratic sense about them, and that helped them to win political races.
Well, there have been historians of the Midwest, people like Frederick Jackson Turner. Tell us about him and what he did to highlight the region.
In the 1890s, a young man from Wisconsin went east to get his graduate degree in American history. And one of the first things he noticed is that nobody was focusing on his region of the country. And he decided that we needed to understand the full country better. So he began this effort to write about the Midwest. When he returned to Wisconsin to teach at the University of Wisconsin, he trained a lot of professors to teach about the region. And so there was this network of individuals who taught about the Midwest, and they formed a Midwestern Historical Association, and they published a journal that focused on the Midwest. But all that collapsed by the time of the 1950s. Of course, Turner died in the 1930s. His old journal that focused on the Midwest became a national journal by the time of the 1960s. A lot of his one-time successors got old and retired, and they were not replaced. And as a result, we have no historical societies now that focus on the Midwest, or even any journals that focus on Midwestern history.
Well, and you're trying to do something about that. Now you're going to be holding this meeting in Omaha, Nebraska. What is the goal of that? What do you want people to start doing?
This Friday, the Midwestern History Working Group, which is some people who feel similarly about this whole issue, are going to come together. We're going to discuss the best way to promote Midwestern history. And within the next year or so, we're going to have a discussion about whether or not we should form a new history association and a journal to focus on the Midwest, so that graduate students who are coming up through the system have a way of connecting with that history in the Midwest, because right now it's really not even taught in graduate schools, and it's not even considered an option as a field of study. So we hope to change that.
If you look at where people in this country are migrating today, these days, they are not moving to the Midwest in big numbers, certainly not like they did in the past. Do you think the Midwest is history in a way?
Well, one of the problems with the Midwest this year is the absolutely brutal polar vortexes that have been rolling through here week after week. I mean, I'm a born and bred Midwesterner, and I'm about at my breaking point. More seriously, one of the problems with the Midwest is in the old days, everyone could move to the Midwest if you wanted opportunity. If you were living in the big city in Boston, for example, and there wasn't work and you didn't like living in the tenements, you could move out to the Midwest and you could get 100 acres, 160 acres, and start a farm and have a very good life. But of course, that's not how farming works anymore. So there isn't as much room for that old small town agrarian Midwestern way of life that there once was.
As we said, you're an advisor to John Thune, the Republican senator. Are you writing this book just so that you can set it up for him to run for president so that everyone loves the Midwest by the time he's ready, and maybe if he decides to do it in 2016?
No, that's not the reason. I'll tell you the story behind it. I wrote a book in 2010 about the founding of Dakota Territory in the 1880s, and the stat that stuck out to me was that 90% of the Americans who settled South Dakota were from the Midwest. And I thought, well, if I'm going to explain what that means for the settlement and development of Dakota Territory, I need to be able to explain what it means to be a Midwesterner. So I started digging in to try and read some more Midwestern history, and I found that there was very little written about the region. And so I got off on this whole detour about why is that, and why did Midwestern history fall apart so quickly, and what can we do to restore the old days when people actually focused on the region.
John Lauck's new book is The Lost Region: Toward a Revival of Midwestern History. John Lauck, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And you can read an excerpt of John's book at hereandnow.org.
And Jeremy, I'm looking at a picture on our website at hereandnow.org, a beautiful scudding clouds and corn. You know what? Listeners out there in the Midwest, send us your photos. We'll post them, and it'll give Jeremy a good warm feeling.
Right now, they'll probably just all be pictures of snow or very, very cold weather.
Then point at the sky.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.